This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
And better public participation starts here as well with Dear South Africa and Rob Hutchinson. Rob, how are you doing?
Very well, and yourself, Benji?
Good, thank you, Rob. Now, most of the time we talk about Parliament, and occasionally we talk about municipal issues, and very occasionally we talk about foreign policy in some kind of a strange way. And today we're sort of doing all three because we are talking about Johannesburg City Council wanting to change the name of Sandton Drive, which you will know it from Sandton City and the American consulate. That's all Sandton Drive. They want to call it Leila Khaled Drive. Leila Khaled is a very famous terrorist. Her most notable things in the world she did was to hijack two planes. And the ANC council wants to change her name, change the name of Sandton Drive to Leila Khaled Drive. And Rob, you have been putting out a campaign because they've asked for comment about if the people of the city think this is a good idea.
That's right, Benji. So yeah, it's a common thing that happens all around the country. I think we've seen so many name changes, or most of the name changes happening in the Eastern Cape area. But this is a move by the city of Joburg. As you said, it's done at a municipal level. And it is a call to change Sandton Drive to a rather controversial figure. Who's not South African, and that in itself does raise issues according to city policy, because as the city policy does state, it has to be if names are changed, that it has to be South African heroes or events or places and so on, but they have to be attributed to local heritage and heroes and so on. So this is a rather strange proposal. It has been on the cards for a number of years already. It was raised some time ago by the EFF, who actually put it forward in the city of Joburg, to reuse change Sandton Drive to Leila Khaled. As you've mentioned, Leila Khaled is a Palestinian person who has been rather controversial in several terrorist organizations, and their organizations are deemed terrorist by international bodies, not just by local. So as I've seen from quite a few participants' comments already, the major concern is around the fact that she's not South African and might cause a bit of social unrest and destroy social cohesion, which is quite important in the Sandton area. It's quite controversial. And Sandton Drive does, of course, host the U.S. embassy and consulate. So yeah, it does bring in a few questions there.
I want to ask a little bit about process here, which I'm wondering if you might have some insight to, Rob. The EFF, as you said, introduced this, and then the council voted on it, and there was, I think, more ANC and EFF people than the other party, so it was able to go through. And now they're asking for this public participation, like 3 years later. Is it just me? Is that the wrong way to do something? Is it not normally that the city does something, gets public comment, and then once they've gathered it and figured out what everyone wants, then they go and vote on it? Or am I misunderstanding the process?
That is generally the process that does happen. It does start off with a proposal put forward by any member of the council. In this case, it was one of the EFF council members. Then it does go out for discussion amongst the council first, before it goes out to the public. So they decide whether it's a worthwhile exercise through majority agreement, and then they put it out for public comment. And then once they've received the comments from the public, then they have to discuss it again based on the public input. So the public comments do play a vital role in the decision making process. No decision has been taken or made at this stage. Then it'll only happen after the public consultation process.
Okay, so in other words, they sort of took a resolution at first, And now, for whatever reason, it's come up now. So they're doing the public process, and then they would have to then take another vote in council to say, well, you know, if this is what we want, then we have to do it. And the gap we're in at the moment is this public participation. I believe it's on until the 18th of October, something like that. You've normally got about a month before public participation. So in that part of the process now.
That's correct. That's correct. It was published in the local newspaper. I can't find it in the local government because it's supposed to be published there as well, but I haven't seen it there. And they give 28 days from the date of publication for the public to have their say. And they specifically say that every public comment will be considered and acknowledged in the decision-making process. So it's a great opportunity for the public to air their views. And what they're looking for is constructive input, meaningful input. So it's not a voting system at this stage. It's they really want to hear what the public feel about this. They're looking for people who agree, people who disagree, and so on.
Okay, so that's very interesting. So people have the opportunity, and there is all sorts of stuff. Actually, a lot of people who are interested in this have sent me the road naming policy. You can actually go out there and read it, and it's actually a fascinating document. It talks about some of the things that you've been speaking about, the importance of being a South African who's contributed to the country in some way. There's issues here around that embassy and the so-called Vienna Convention. That deals with how embassies are supposed to be governed by the local authorities. There's things about divisiveness. There's all sorts of stuff there that's really in the city's naming policy. That you know, if you want to comment on it and comment seriously, not just like you know, just send off a tweet, then you can actually do that. And as you say, it's actually very important because when time comes to vote, the people who are voting need to know if there's strong public opposition to this, because that would inform the way that they might think about this. So that's all on the agenda, and you can actually do it. And of course, Rob, you've actually been running this campaign, and people have already been commenting.
That's right. Yeah. So we've received quite a few comments here. I think it's around about 350 comments already since Friday, and still the early days. And it's a resounding no against the implementation of this name change, for various reasons. I think it's quite a controversial figure, and it does it's not in line with the city's policy. And according to the name change policy, it has to adhere to certain guidelines and principles. And the choice of this individual does not actually fit in with that. However, if people don't have the say and don't raise objection or approval, then the city will use its own discretion and put it out to vote anyway, regardless. And then it'll be difficult to change it afterwards. So there's various discrepancies there or disagreements ranging from the cost implications all the way through to she's not a South African icon. It's not in line with policy and so on, and it's unnecessary and so on. It's quite a controversial campaign, but this will prove the effectiveness of public participation and how it can influence this decision.
So if people want to comment on this particular issue, Rob, they can go to the Dear South Africa website. And where do they go from there once they get to the website?
DearSouthAfrica.co.za. You can click on the button Latest Campaigns and click on a Sandton name change icon, and then just follow the process, fill in your details, read the documentation, read the policies, and have your say, and provide meaningful input so that the city can have something to go on and make a wise decision at the end of the day.
Well, there we go. It is Heritage Day coming up tomorrow. If you think that the Sandton Drive's heritage should be Leila Khaled, well, you should go. Or if you don't think, you could also go and check it out on Dear South Africa, because a name change is a heritage change as well. Rob, thank you so much, as always, for joining us on Chai FM. And we look forward to following this campaign, see where it goes.
Fantastic, Benji. Thank you so much for having me on, and have a great day forward.
Awesome. Thanks so much. That's Rob Hutchinson. Go check out Dear South Africa, .co.za, and you can see the campaigns for Leila Khaled. I am Benji Shulman, and this is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
Now, I actually want to make a point about Heritage Day, which I thought was thinking about it the other day, and I thought it's kind of interesting. I think that Heritage Day in South Africa is important because of the fact that it kind of falls through the cracks. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. And because it falls through the cracks, it's been embraced by South Africans in a different way to the other public holidays. So if you look at the public holidays that we have in this country, they tend to be one of four things. Either they're religious, right? Christmas, Easter, whatever. Or they are specifically practical. So we want an extra long weekend. So we have stuff like Family Day, which makes it an extra long weekend over Easter. They are compromise days. So it was days that were celebrated during apartheid. People didn't want to lose them. So that's something like the 16th of December. It used to be Dingaan Day. Now it's a day of reconciliation. And then there's political days. So there's May Day, which is communist, and there's April 27th, which is the Constitution, and there's Youth Day and Women's Day, all of these. So all of these fit into different things. And Heritage Day actually fits into one of the compromise days. Okay, so it was originally, originally a day to do with Zulu nationalism and something that was celebrated from that community, and so they changed it from what it used to be, which I've now actually can't even remember, and they called it Heritage Day. But all the other days, particularly the political ones, have this like big imposing figure over them, you know, something like Youth Day, the government comes in and they sort of have these big concerts, and it's not always appropriate, nobody really knows what's going on. But with Heritage Day, no one even really remembers what it's about and doesn't have a particular political meaning. And so what happens is that people start to insert their own meaning into it, which is fantastic. And it means that you get these big debates. You get, is it Bride Day? Is it not Bride Day? People pitch up at the shops wearing their traditional gear, and there's people who are like wear outfits, and there's discussions of culture. Is it helpful? Is it not helpful? People do things on that day. And so it's the one public holiday, I think, in South Africa where people have inserted their own meaning in it from the bottom up, as opposed to most of our other ones where the meaning of the holiday is kind of inserted from the top down, and everyone is told what to think and why, and it gets very, very, very political. But I think because people are interested in heritage, they're interested in culture, we have a diverse country, Heritage Day has become a place that people have really embraced, and some people hate it and some people like it, but they're all interested in it. And I think that that's a big argument, and I think that that's nothing more South African than having a big argument over something that we're all invested in, but which probably isn't going to take us all out. And so we're going to finish the show today with some traditional, let's call it Jewish African heritage, with some Johnny Clegg. Have a great day tomorrow, and we'll chat to you soon.